Hey, this is Kirk Smith. This week I'll be in Palo Alto on February 20th doing an event for 7 Bay Area, California charities. You can still get tickets. You can find them on my Facebook page, Kirk Smith, or my fan page, Kirk Smith Friend Page, or on the Autastic Podcast Facebook page. Tickets are $20 and will again benefit 7 Bay Area, California charities related to autism. I hope to see you guys there. Thanks so much and enjoy this week's episode of Autastic.
All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Autastic.
Yahoo!
Okay, wow, yeah, Kirk is ready to go over there. That's Kirk Smith. I'm Graham Kay. This is the podcast where we discuss autism. We're two comedians.
That's true.
We both have loved ones, family members who are autistic. My brother is autistic and Kirk's son is autistic. We, as we have started to say, are not scientists. We don't pretend to know what we're talking about. We're just two dudes trying to figure it out, just like you guys. We love our family members, and this is a topic that we think about a lot, so we were like, why not do a podcast about it?
Not sad, it's not science, it's just encouraging, lighthearted, hopefully funny.
Yeah, hopefully.
At my expense.
Yeah, usually at Kirk's expense. We'll see. Anyway, thanks very much for tuning back. You guys are awesome. Really appreciate the support and the love that we are getting. Let's begin with Week in Review, which is how we always begin. We're going to deviate from our normal tactic of talking about our weeks with regards to our loved one. Well, we got a really interesting letter from a person, an autistic person. I can say for this person that he is an autistic person, not a person who is autistic. And Kirk will explain.
So this is really interesting because we got a lot of letters at the beginning of the podcast who told us, please don't say my son, my autistic son. Your son is an individual separate from autism. And
I'm not saying these people are wrong. And
I'm not either.
You.
I'm saying these are letters we got.
These are just letters we got.
And I'd never heard of this. And but we probably got a dozen letters.
Yeah.
A dozen letters that said this.
Mm-hmm.
And so then
maybe a baker's dozen.
And what did we do? We changed it, right?
We're like, okay,
so it's my son who has autism.
Yes.
So now I got a letter.
Well, we tried to change it. We're
doing our best.
Yeah.
We got a letter from Andrew B. And hi, I am an adult on the... He tracked down my email address, my personal email address somehow. Great. No problem.
Kirk couldn't find this email when we were talking about it because he's like, he couldn't find it on the Autastic email. He couldn't find it
on Facebook. Yeah.
He's like, oh, this kid...
track down my personal email.
It's
fine. I am an adult on the autism spectrum and had some concerns about the way you discuss autism on your podcast. I don't listen to the show myself. Sorry, ! But my mother does, and I often overhear it when she is sewing in the other room. You generally seem like nice, funny people, but I'm constantly irked by your insistence on using first-person language, i.e. person with autism. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't like what we've changed it to.
Yes.
He prefers it the other way. In the actual autism community, first-person language seems to be generally be preferred largely by neurotypical individuals. But actual autistic people generally favor identity-first language, a quote-unquote autistic person, rather than a, quote, person with autism. This may seem counterintuitive, but there are good reasons for this. Person-first language separates the autism from the person. It treats the autism like a minor trait, which to a neurotypical person might seem kinder. But firstly, there's nothing wrong with being autistic. And secondly, autism can't be separated from the individual in the same way in real life. Growing up with autism, I've come to realize that my autism has always shaped the way I've experienced the world, even when I wasn't aware of it, which I think fair enough.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't think you have to be aware of it for it to be affecting you.
Sure. I like this letter, by the way.
Yeah. Yep. I was just shocked. I wasn't upset, but I was surprised. He took the time to write to a podcast he doesn't listen to, but that's... that's neither here nor there.
Well, he heard the important part that he was concerned about. So
the rest
fine.
Of it is, you wouldn't refer to a blind or deaf person as a person with blindness or a person with deafness, or for that matter, a white or black person as a, quote, person with whiteness or a person with blackness. You have to step back and look at why you're trying to separate the condition from the person. A lot of the people make the comparison to a, quote, person with cancer, but that comparison alone is insulting and degrading to autistics due to comparing autism, a benign neurological trait, with a devastating, often incurable disease. Well, there's a spectrum there, but that's another discussion. Okay, there's a wide range. Autism is not a disease. It's not a curse. It is a unique way of thinking that brings with it both positive and negative traits that shouldn't be treated as a mere possession. The Autism Self-Advocacy Network, one of the largest and most well-regarded autism advocacy groups run by actual autistic individuals, has further reading upon this on their website. I hope this helps you to consider the implications of your use of language in your program. Thank you for your time.
I love that letter, and I hate it. He makes a good point. And that's what I felt. That's what I felt about before. This is about, we're not trying to offend anybody.
No.
We're not trying to...
create a podcast.
If you're a person who has a child with autism, we'll say it however you want us to say. He says in that letter that most autistic people prefer the other way.
Non-first-person language.
Non-first-person language. I don't know if you can substantiate that.
Yeah, I don't know if there's science behind those numbers.
Yeah, but he definitely is a person with autism and believes, doesn't like it, and that's a fact. And I personally completely understand what he's talking about.
The analogy of the person with blindness.
I think that's a great analogy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you don't say, a person with blindness, you'd say a blind person. I don't know. I definitely didn't go out of my way to create a free podcast to hurt anybody's feelings. That wasn't my plan. So no. If they want me to say it this way, I'm happy to say it this way. If they want me to say it the other way, I'm happy to say it the other way.
It's a very touchy community.
A little bit.
It is a lot of exasperated people who are dealing with loved ones. So mm-hmm. I do get that. But sometimes we don't need to get stuck on semantics.
Yeah, I'm definitely very exasperated.
The point, yes, you are. The point is to create awareness and make sure that people understand that autistic people have value and that people who have autism have value and that it is a unique way of thinking and it's not all doom and gloom. And that's the major point.
Right.
Of this podcast, and we are never going to please everybody. It is impossible, especially in this community. You cannot please these parents. You cannot. You just can't.
It's just not how it works. Yeah.
You can try your best. You cannot please the... I did like, he said, autistics. I like that.
Right.
Most autistics, he said. You know, like referring to people with autism as autistics. Yeah. I like that. Sounds kind of cool.
That's interesting, yeah. That's very that was
you
really
cannot
great
please
letter.
All autistics. We've had, this is not the first letter we've had from someone with autism. And we've had a lot of, we've had a mostly like 99% good letters from people with autism.
This probably is the first letter we've gotten from somebody with autism who hasn't heard the podcast.
Yeah, who hasn't heard the podcast. Well, you know, but he doesn't need to hear it because he heard the way we were saying first person
right.
language, and that's what irked him. And he doesn't. That was the only thing he wrote about.
Yeah, that's true.
So, which is fair.
Sounds like his mom likes it and likes to sew.
Yes. Well. Mom, if you're listening, you're the best. Thanks so much for listening. And we'll try our best.
Yeah.
We're going to try
Thanks
our best.
For the letter. I really appreciate
that. I love that letter.
Time to write it.
Yeah, that was. Thank you for taking the time. And I think that was a great analogy. Most of the person first language, is that what it is?
Yeah.
I believe that is for non-autistic people. That is to satiate... parents who are offended. That's why we do it.
Is that a thing? Do parents get offended?
I don't know. I think the parents are the ones who are writing in. Those dozen letters are being like, come on, man, can you not say it like that? Because I find it offensive. Right. And fine, okay. I don't think you're wrong, and I don't know what I would be like if I was a parent, and I'm so fine.
Oh, I'm a parent. I don't know if I'm allowed to say because I'm, but it's my podcast. But yeah, I think
you're allowed to say it on
your
podcast.
I don't think it matters either way. I don't think I'm not. It depends on how you say it. It's like a lot of words. It depends on how you're saying it. Are you saying it to try to hurt, or are you saying it? Are you?
You got the tone.
Yeah. Are you describing your son who is autistic?
Or yeah, we're not like autistic you know, son. Yeah, we're or, not like that. That autistic guy.
Right. I think it's.
I hate when people say that like that. I want to.
I do too.
I want to kick them in their teeth.
That's different. Yeah.
Well, autistic. Really? Really?
I know.
Yeah. That's then they could just be that person who is autistic.
I know that doesn't make it any better.
No. You know.
Yeah.
But okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't know where I don't know. I don't know if we've gotten anywhere.
Well,
that.
I think we should read it because I might go back and forth on the language, just because so we make everybody angry.
Yeah. Yeah. What do we do? What do we do? Please, someone write us a letter and tell us what to do. We don't know what to do.
So funny.
Yeah.
We've got some great reviews on iTunes lately. I wanted to shout out to Deep 1084, which sounds like a IRS tax form.
Mm-hmm.
Great to anyone with a connection with autism who wants to learn about the day-to-day of living with autism. It's doing a great service of raising awareness, especially showing the great need for services for families affected by autism. I want to read some of these positive ones so we don't just read the one negative one. People are like, oh, you want to get on the air?
I don't even think that one was negative. I think that was just good input. It was just good insight. Well, and I appreciate that he took the time to write it.
It's his point of view. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And he gets to, yeah, of course he gets to have an opinion on how people describe
it.
Yeah.
Him more than anybody gets to have an opinion, you know?
I agree. Barton, Florida wrote, love the show. Great work. Keep up the good work, fellas. Great books, Bookers. Said, I personally don't know anyone with autism.
I mean, you
got to
just skip the names.
That was a name.
You're not good with names.
I know, but I'm allowed.
If you're new to this podcast, Kirk cannot say names. He can read. The reason why he reads these letters and articles is because he's better at reading out loud than me. I have a little bit of dyslexia. My eyesight isn't great. I'm not great at reading out loud. And he's great, but he just can't read last names because he grew up in Ecuador, and he only knows Spanish names.
The last
name. He's the whitest guy you'll ever see, but he can't. He's like McCarthy. It's McCarthy. He's like, well, I've never seen that before. I'm like, you're 40 and you've never seen McCarthy.
Listen, Graham.
Yeah.
I go take issue with you saying I can't pronounce your name, Graham Kahai.
He said there was one, but what was the one like 2 weeks ago? You were
Gallagher?
Like
Gallagher.
You were like Donahue.
Donahue.
It's like Donahue.
That's what it was. Yeah.
You're like, oh,
looks, didn't look like Donahue.
Oh my spelled god.
Spelled like Donahue.
Okay, keep going.
Another Manjula. That's the name they wrote there. Another Manjula wrote, I have a close friend who has a 14-year-old autism. Autastic has made me laugh and helped me interact and relate more to him with more patience and understanding. Love the stories about JJ and Peter. Both of them sound like wonderful guys.
That's nice. And if you don't get the reference, my brother always refers to my girlfriend as Manjula, and I'm a poo. All right, it's a Simpsons reference.
Big Simpsons fan. Mm-hmm. Big Simpsons fan.
That's very cute. Thank you very much.
Whipple Hills? This is what it says. This is a podcast for people who love someone who has autism or for people who love someone who's complex. It's pretty much any human being you'd want to spend time with.
It's true.
When you love another person, you make room in your heart for all of it. The good, the meh, and the bad. When we make everything too precious to make jokes about, and when we're too serious about the absurd things that happen, we lose the moments of joy that are part of loving another person. The podcast captures these moments and openly shares them. Another bonus, the podcast hosts are charming and funny. Oh, you're too kind. Whipple Hills. Whipple Hills. That's what it says.
Well, it's like an internet name. It's different.
Oh, okay.
It's not an English name.
It's not English. Okay, got
no,
it.
No, it's like, you know, Jim Bob 69 is not like an Irish name.
Whipple Hills, that could be English. Like they're cream makers over in the hills of... No, you're shaking your head. No.
No.
Okay.
Okay.
JJ Suji wrote, I love these guys. I'm grateful for the podcast. It feels like group therapy without the pricey copays and lengthy insurance forms.
Hey, that works.
That's it.
I mean, it's pretty much therapy
that's
for
it.
Us.
Yeah, it is, definitely.
Mostly you. Moving on. Moving on. We'll do in the news. Let's move on into the news.
Let's do the news.
Yeah.
In the news, here we go. This is
here we go. Buckle up.
Art provides life altering for boy with severe autism. So, Graham and I have different experiences with autism because my son is on the severe end, and your brother is higher functioning. I know you don't think he's high functioning, and he's not Bill Gates high functioning, but if Bill Gates is autistic, but he's definitely higher functioning than my son. So the news stories with severe autism interest me a lot. So this one says, people with severe autism often suffer social and communication impairments, repetitive behavior, and intellectual disabilities. Treatments that work for some might not work for others. And this is a story about John Tran, who was, when he was 10, was referred to an Indianapolis neuroscientist named Jane Yip, and his previous providers had not been able to help him.
Good job on the names.
It was Y-I-P. Super simple. It's got to be Yip.
I thought you were going to go Yipe or something. Could but be Yipe, I'm glad you went Yip. Yep.
Yep. Yep.
Go for it.
Could be Yep.
Keep going.
Yep. Dr. Yip recalls those first sessions with him. He's unable to speak, aggressive, and had not been toilet trained. So when my son was 10, he was aggressive, not really potty trained, toilet trained, and couldn't really speak. He could say no. Like, he said no a lot.
What were you doing to him?
You want to eat? No. Mm-hmm. You want to take a bath? No.
Right.
Go outside? No. It was pretty mean to him. I used to offer him food a lot.
You're the best.
Quote, he's resistant to
training. You're a great dad.
He's resistant. This is therapy for me. You're right. Mm-hmm. He's resistant to training and would just lie on the floor. We did that too, where we'd have to physically pick him up. Come on. And we'd have to move. And I'm back to reading. We'd have to move him. And it seemed like on some level he'd given up. Yip says, everything was so difficult. Not only could he not talk cognitively, he was not understanding, and there was nothing in the world for him.
Right.
After 2 years, Yip worked with John with minimal success. His sensitivity to sensory input made it nearly impossible for him to leave his home. The lights, the noise, being in crowds would often lead to anger and tantrums. Yeah, I can deal with that. I can click right to that, yeah.
Man.
With his aggression
nothing in the world for him. That gets me. Ooh.
I think a lot of people...
I know. That's just the way he said it. That's just tough.
It's true though, right?
Yeah. I know. Keep going. Sorry.
No. I feel the same way. I feel like that's the key to, with my daughter too, you got to find something that, my daughter's neurotypical. You have to find something that they connect with and get them to connect and want to work, basically.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the key to success. I mean, there's always books, but... key is you've got to find something you really want to do, and then you're willing to work and put the time in.
Mm-hmm. As where you sit in your studio apartment.
Eating cookies and crackers. What else have we had? We haven't had donuts yet, but we have had peanuts, coffee. Mm-hmm. It's been a good morning.
Mm-hmm.
Thought about beer. Yip told John that if something didn't change, he'd have to leave his family home. Because he was basically was getting aggressive, increasingly a danger to his younger brother, and nearing the end of a rope. Yip told John that if something didn't change, he'd have to leave his family home. That happens like when, on the severe end, when kids get more violent. And we were talking to a lot of people.
Yeah.
I have a lot of kind of a network of friends that we talk about this. And so that's a tough call. And the kids are bigger than the parents. And when do you do?
We went through that for like a year or two.
Yeah.
And we were worried, and it luckily died down.
Yeah.
But it was an issue.
And your brother's higher functioning.
Yeah. Yep. Totally.
So she says, I saw the tears streaming down his face, and I said to him, we'll see what we can do. I know we've been forcing you to do things that you don't like to do all along. Okay. So let's back off and you show us what you'd like to do. So he grabbed a paper and crayons and furiously began coloring along the paper. Yip says the threat of leaving his mom and dad made John start to cooperate. Over the next year, she provided them with paper and crayons, used his love of coloring as a reward for going to the bathroom. About a year, that was another thing that we tried to do. Like, to get him potty trained, you have to find something that he wants. So it's like, not money. Like a regular kid, you can give him like coins or not, I shouldn't say regular. A neurotypical kid, often you give coins or stickers or, but he wasn't interested in that stuff. So you have to find something specific that he wants. Skittles.
Right. Skittles, Rice Krispies, and ketchup.
Yeah, he really likes ketchup.
That was good, man.
And the texture of, I think he likes the texture of Rice Krispies and the taste of the ketchup.
Who doesn't?
Right?
But combined, he might be a genius.
It's like a 5-star Michelin restaurant.
Yeah.
So basically, I'm not going to read this whole article. Why did I do that? They start working with him, and an artist friend comes and starts teaching him how to paint, and he is interested in painting. And so over the next 3 years, he's begun painting, and he's laughed for the first time in his life. He was jumping.
He's laughed for the first time in his life. Holy guacamole. Yeah, what else? He's jumping?
His behavior used to be like 100 minutes of severe behavior, like a boxing ring, actually, and it actually dropped from 100 minutes to 10 minutes per session. So his behavior... You've got to find something to engage. I think that's something that I try to do for my daughter too, right? Like, it's such a delicate balance between being a dad, because it's like sometimes your instinct is to be a friend, like, oh, we'll have fun and we'll hang out. That could be fun.
Okay, so this reminds me of another thing, a smaller item in the news that came up. It's a video that's sort of going viral, and it's of a Starbucks barista, newly hired. I'm going to say severely autistic boy, teenager.
I don't know.
I don't know. You don't know, right? Well, yeah. He does not seem...
Higher functioning than my son is right now.
Functioning than your son, yes.
But more severe than your brother.
Yes, more severe than my brother.
Right.
And he actually has a higher paying job than my brother at Starbucks, where he's making drinks, and he has this sort of constant movement about him that he can't stop swinging his arms and everything. Mm-hmm. And they had Starbucks had a very, very patient manager and was like, he's like a therapist or something.
Yeah.
And he like came up with the idea to turn the movement into a dance, and they play music.
That's playing in the background.
Are you listening?
Yeah.
Damn.
Anyway, so yeah, they basically they have that music playing. I don't know if it's that loud.
Sorry about that.
They're playing in the Starbucks, and this kid, he looks to be about 17 years old, is using his movements in rhythm with the music to make drinks, and he's like spinning around. He's more focused. It focuses mm-hmm. him. It sort of enables him to sort of latch on to things. And he's got like a process, and he's making these drinks, pretty complicated drinks at Starbucks, and they look great. And they show the end of the video is they show the drink he just made. I don't know how long the video is, like 45 seconds.
Yeah.
And that's how long it took him to make some like really fancy smoothie, you know, and there's cool music and there's managers in the background having a great time, you know?
Yeah. Shout out to Chris's manager. Yeah. For really taking the time to encourage him too.
And shout out to Starbucks for hiring a person with autism.
Yeah.
Who is autistic.
What are we going to do? We're going to say the same way both ways, both times?
I love autistics.
You like that?
For hiring an autistic. Is that offensive?
Somebody will send us a letter if it is, I'm sure.
I don't know. I think it sounds
somebody
cool.
Who won't listen to the podcast will send us a letter.
Right. Anyway.
I don't know if I've written a letter ever to any show that I've ever watched. Ever. Have you?
If it was concerning something like this that isn't often talked about, if it was a show talking about white guys who grew up in Peru and what they're like from people who aren't
white screw,
guys from Peru.
I was in Ecuador. It's totally different.
Or Ecuador. It's all the same. You would be offended. But you know what I mean? Like, you wouldn't be offended necessarily, but you'd definitely be more motivated to write a letter. If someone was talking about your disorder or not disorder.
I think something's wrong with me, but I wouldn't write a letter.
If somebody else was talking about the way your brain works and they were neuronormative.
Neurotypical?
Neurotypical.
We're making new words.
I don't know anymore. You know what I mean? You'd be like, I would be more. I'd be like, well, come on. Like,
no,
you really? You think you know what you're talking about? You know,
no, you're right.
It's
yeah,
not,
no, you're right.
We're not taught. We're not pretending to know what it's
like. No,
if you're autistic, we are not. We don't know what it's like
no.
to be autistic. We only know what it's like to have a loved one who is autistic. That's all we're talking about. So we know what your mom feels like. We know what your brother and your sister feels
yeah,
like.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah,
a little bit. You know,
and we just
mean?
Want to encourage them that you're not alone. We're all doing this together, and we can do this.
And you know, and if you are autistic listening, you're the best. Thank you very much. But what are we talking about? So anyway, the kudos to Starbucks for hiring Chris, and this is a guy who I'm sure his parents and doctors assumed that he would not be making a living wage. And there he is making a living wage. He's got better health care than me.
Because he has health care.
Yeah, because he I mean, I got I'm from Canada. If I break my leg, I pretty much have to put it like tie it down and then fly to Canada.
Duct tape it up.
Yeah.
And go home.
Yeah. But which is what he's got a better program than me. You know what I mean?
No, like, it's great.
He's killing it.
I think that's the key, though, trying to find your place, right?
He's going to be a taxpayer.
Yeah.
Which is like he's going to contribute to society. He's not going to be taking. Like using societal money, like it's amazing, and how many other people could be doing this, and there is not enough autism awareness out there. There's not enough managers like that to take the time. I bet you it didn't even take that long.
Right.
I bet you it took twice or three times as long as training a normal like a neuronormative person.
How great does it feel though? Yeah,
and it makes me cry. Like it's just so nice. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's just like, how good does that manager feel? How good does Starbucks look?
That's true too. We're talking about it again.
We're just trying to make you money, Starbucks. Hire more people.
I had this article sent to me.
Hire more autistic people.
Celeste, a bunch of people sent this to me on Facebook. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is making the rounds, man.
Yeah, man. Anyway, we're going to post that too on our Facebook page. Yeah, so that has been in the news. We're going to segue seamlessly into our topic du jour because
our topic du jour, what we wanted to talk about today, I'll bail you out of this one, was...
Thank you. Can you please edit? You can just edit me out of that.
This kid's clearly like found his place, you know, where he feels like he's making a contribution. And I think that's one of what you want as a parent. You know, mm-hmm. You're trying to get your kids to feel like they belong, they care about something.
That's the main thing, isn't it? I bet you he's so much happier than sitting at home, you know?
Yeah.
I bet you he's a human being, he's got purpose. Yeah, someone took the frigging time to teach him, you know?
Yeah, and if he's anything like your brother, he'll show up on time, mm-hmm. early, every day.
My bro is early and ready with a clean uniform every day.
Yeah, he's not, you know, hungover every Monday calling in sick.
No, he's there.
He's there. He's ready to put the time in. I think mm-hmm. as a dad, you know, I go through this with my daughter too, is neurotypical, trying to find the balance between pushing this kid, because I'm sure this kid had people in his life, his name's Sam, I should use his name, had people in his life that told him you can't do it or you won't or made fun of him or whatever. And as a parent, sometimes you have to give him a little push and encourage him, be like, no, you can do it. You don't need to listen to those people. You can. The other article too, I'm sure... You know, this is a hard conversation that they had with this young man in Indianapolis, where they pushed him a little bit. Like, listen, if you can't come around, we're gonna have to make some tough calls. If you're gonna be violent, and John Tran, you know, the article. This is the same topic that the book that was written by Temple Grandin. Remember we talked about mm-hmm. this, about giving a loving push, she calls it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going through that with my daughter right now. It's neurotypical. She's 18. She needs to take one college class to graduate because we just moved here, and so she didn't do her 2 years of language, and so you can do a college class, and it counts as double, so you do one college class, but it's tough to get in because you get last priority, and so as a dad, you kind of have to give them a little push, and it's hard to know, you know, I don't want to be the bad guy. I get tired of being the heavy, and it's always have to come in and be like, no, you got... But yeah, sometimes that's what it's about.
Do you feel like raising... being a parent of a child with autism has sort of given you better skills to raise, more patience maybe, better tactics to raising a neurotypical child?
Don't sigh into the microphone, Kirk.
When you're about to answer a question and you sigh into the microphone, I like it because it's very telling.
Okay. I think, how would I describe it? Definitely more patient, and definitely, this is going to sound corny, but it makes you feel blessed to have this discussion with my daughter, where it's like, where do you want to go to college? You're getting really good grades. You're right on the cusp. You need to do this one more class. You need to go down to the college by yourself, take an Uber, or, you know, get your license. These are conversations that I would love to have with my son, you know, where it's like, he's 17. So, mm-hmm. you know, I'd love to have this conversation with him next year. Be like, listen, you're about to graduate.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you want to go to college? And these are things you can't have. So I think sometimes it makes every other little thing, and I'm not going to cry, it makes every other little conversation with your neurotypical a little more precious or a little mm-hmm. more important.
Right. Thank you, Kirk. That's awesome.
Didn't feel awesome saying it.
Well, it's
felt
it's
very
real.
Vulnerable.
It's real, buddy. Well, where do we go from here? I'm not sure. I think we should end it, man. I think we did a good job. I think that was a good episode.
I think we got another one of the belt.
Yeah, man. We had we learned something. We got real at the end, you know?
Somebody's driving home gonna cry.
Kirk and I are literally about to go do pull-ups in a park.
Yeah,
so
let's get some exercise.
He will feel great.
It's going to be great.
Yeah, he's just going to take it off.
No, it's all going to work out. It's
yeah,
going to
be fine. It will be
fine. It's always fine.
And to the parents out there, it will be fine.
It's going
to
be fine. It's going to work out.
Totally going to be fine.
Your life's going to work out.
Mm-hmm. Exercise, that helps too.
Sunlight.
Sunlight, yep. Guys, thank you so much for listening. Please subscribe on Facebook if you already haven't. Tell your friends, leave a review. We're also on SoundCloud. If your friends are like, but I don't have iTunes, we're on SoundCloud. And what else, Kirk?
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram. It's Kirk Smith Comedy,
Graham K Comedy.
And also, if you have a second, please subscribe in iTunes. Like you said, that makes a big difference. If each of our listeners would add a friend, you know, tag them in a post and say, hey, check this out, it would mean a lot to us, and it would really help raise awareness and get the word out. I was at the Improv 3 nights ago.
It's a comedy club.
It's a comedy club in L.A., sorry. Hollywood Improv. And the doorman, named Ryan, I've been talking to him for, you know, about a year. Was just found my podcast. It was like, this is great. I don't have any connection to autism. I really didn't know a lot about it, and I really enjoyed it. It was really interesting, and I really learned a lot. It was great. I've listened to the first, I think he said 6-7 episodes, and I'm going to listen to the rest. So I think
oh, that's nice.
You'd be surprised who would get a kick out of this.
I've had a couple friends say that too. It's just interesting. I don't know. Anyway, guys, you're the best. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Love you very much.
Have a great week.
Bye.